pandemic, our relationship was already in trouble.
It's like we argue about everything.
I mean, he comes home and he sits in the driveway, in the car, instead of coming into the house with me and his son.
See, she doesn't trust me. And she talks about me to her girlfriends. Like she speaks so loudly like she wants me to hear. What am I supposed to do with that?
Why do you have to get out of the bed at 11:20 at night to return a text?
You see, she doesn't even know how to talk to me.
And he refuses to talk to me.
Like the first couple weeks of quarantine, together in the house all day and all night, just confirmed it's me.
I can't do this anymore.
You know what? I'm done.
I think I'm done.
Maybe we need to get some help.
I think we need to talk to somebody.
Marriages are under attack. And if you or someone you know needs help, then join Pastors Lewis and Stephanie Tucker for My Church Marriage Seer Training. Pastors Lewis and Stephanie Tucker have designed a course to help your marriage to not just survive, but to thrive. Get the tools necessary for a successful biblical marriage. You can enjoy this course live on Roku, Fire Stick, and Apple TV. Why not make an investment into your marriage that will impact generations? My Church Lynchburg Marriage Seer Training.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I'm Pastor Tuck, and this is my beautiful wife, Pastor Steph, and welcome to My Church Marriage Seer Training. Now, I don't know if some of you may be wondering, what is seer training? Well, in the military, soldiers who are part of special forces are required to go through seer training, which stands for survival, evasion, resistance, and escape, so that in the case of capture, they can endure the extreme conditions they may encounter at the hands of the enemy. Well, Pastor Stephanie and I are going to teach you how to just go from surviving marriage to enjoying marriage by retraining you so that you can endure the trials of life. And if you'll commit to joining us every third Thursday, we're going to give you the tools necessary to maintain a successful biblical marriage. But before we begin, let us pray. Pastor Stephanie.
Dear Lord, we thank you, Father God, for this day. Lord God, I pray that you just have your way tonight. I pray that you just enter any home, any mind, any heart that are struggling with their marriage, Lord God. And I pray, God, that as they listen to the words we have to share tonight, that they will be able to reflect on what they can do differently, not point fingers, Lord God, but point up and ask you to help them through this process. We thank you, Lord God, for all the things that you want to do. And we give you glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, you know, over the past 22 years of pastoral ministry and her career as a social worker, my wife and I have sat across from countless couples, some in tears, some in silence, some trying desperately to hold their marriage together after deep wounds of betrayal.
Mm-hmm. And on these moments, there are some of the most heartbreaking, but some of the most hopeful, because we've also watched God restore marriages that the world would have called, quote unquote, over. Trust is sacred. When it's broken, it can shake the foundation of a marriage. But with God's help, it can also be rebuilt.
You know, you've got to recognize that trust is the bedrock of covenant. Mm-hmm. See, marriage is not just a contract. It's a covenant. And every covenant is held together by trust. You know, the Bible tells us in Proverbs that the heart of her husband safely trusts her so that he will have no lack of gain. You know, that's a major thing. The wife's must be able to trust his wife.
There you go.
A husband must be able to trust his wife. And when he does, it says that he will lack no gain. That thing actually puts you in a place where it gives you the confidence to go after and to do anything. Mm-hmm. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes that a threefold cord is not quickly broken. You know, it tells us that when we're able to trust each other and to put our trust in Christ, it puts us in a position where our marriage is secure. And so we've got to recognize how important that foundational principle of trust is.
When trust is present, love flourishes. But when trust is broken, fear, doubt, suspicion, and resentment begin to grow. And those emotions don't just damage the relationship, they choke it. Mm.
You know, broken trust doesn't always happen overnight. Mm-mm. It often begins with small cracks, little compromises,
yes,
unchecked temptations,
mm-hmm,
or a lack of honest communications.
Yep.
And see, there are different areas where trust is often broken.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got to recognize that infidelity can happen, whether it could be emotional or physical. You know, we've counseled many couples who thought it was just a conversation, just texting. You know, it was just a DM or a comment.
Facebook Messenger,
you know,
or whatever. Yeah.
But emotional infidelity can be just as destructive as physical betrayal.
Mm-hmm.
See, because when your heart starts to give what belongs to your spouse to someone else, a door is open. Mm-hmm. You know, that's why the Bible tells you don't give Satan a foothold. You've got to be very careful what you allow to come into what God has considered sacred space.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I think so many people are struggling in their marriage today, because they don't realize how subtle the enemy is and how critical these sacred spaces are.
Yeah.
The covenant between a man and a wife is the most covenant, most sacred of covenants. And you got to recognize that you can't allow anything to come in between that bond.
Mm-mm. Nope.
You have to remember, even in the very beginning, when God established the covenant of marriage, he said a man will leave his mother and father and cleave to his spouse.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't allow your family to get in between that bond.
Mm-hmm.
And so anything else that you allow to get in there is going to cause a problem.
Yeah.
Watch this. You think about, and anybody who's, you know, I've never, you know, we're getting to that age, I guess getting closer to that age, but I've always heard people talk about people who wear dentures. They say you can get a small crumb or something in between your dentures and your gums, and it is one of the most painful things, because something small can get down in a crack where it's not supposed to be, and it will cause a huge problem.
Mm-hmm.
You know, from an engineering perspective, when you look at gears and how gears function, you can get something very small inside that, and it will start to cause problems and cause things to malfunction.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you've got something that's supposed to be a precision operating mechanism, there's very small room for error. You can't just insert anything in there. You can't have something infiltrate that space that's not supposed to be there. And that's why the Bible tells us, but I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart.
Mm. And it can happen with women too.
Yes.
You know, you can look at a man lustfully.
Yes. That's not just talking to men. That's one of those gender neutral scriptures there. But he's telling us about how subtle Satan's temptations are, how subtle those transgressions can be that can start to eat away at that marriage covenant, how it can eat away at that trust factor.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we've got to recognize how simple that is. David put it this way. He says, I made a covenant with my eyes not to look upon a woman, because David recognized how simply that him just looking at Bathsheba, how that took him down that road and caused him to fall.
Yeah.
So he recognized that just simply his eyes lusting after somebody else caused him to go down a road. And that's why he had to make a covenant with his eyes not to look upon another woman. He had to make a covenant with his eyes. He said, I got to make my eyes a promise that I'm not just going to allow them just to look at anything. I'm not going to allow them to look somewhere they don't have any business. And men, we don't think about that. We don't think. We say, oh, well, it's not a problem just to look. Oh, yes, it is. Because what you're doing is you're allowing your heart to now go into a place that is not supposed to.
No.
See, marriage should, the Bible tells us in Hebrews 13 and 4, marriage should be honored by all and the marriage bed kept pure.
Yeah.
So you've got to be you've got to be mindful mm-hmm. of how you practice this. You've got to guard your heart and your conversations.
That's right. And you just can't minimize emotional affairs. It's so easy to get caught up and slip up into something like that. All it would take is a bad day. Or if you can't regulate your emotions or your thinking and you and your husband got into an argument, you're driving into work and then you talk to one of your girlfriends on the phone and she starts talking about one of your old high school boyfriends. And the next thing you know, that high school boyfriend is sending you an instant message right there. There's an emotional connection because you're looking at things from the past, but your present is skewed because you're allowing your emotions to cloud your commitment to your covenant with your husband. So don't minimize those things.
Yeah. And you got to recognize when it talks about guarding your heart in your conversations, you've got to set clear boundaries. You've got to set boundaries with the opposite sex. You've got to start to be mindful about how you guard your heart in your conversation. I remember, you know, and I always share this with men when I'm doing counseling with them about this. These are practices that the Lord just put in my heart. I remember when I first got married, when her and I first got married, and all of us have a past. And I remember when we first got married, one of the first things I did, I changed my phone number. Because I did not want the Bible says, don't let your good be evil spoken of. I didn't want there to be any sense or appearance of impropriety. Mm-hmm. I didn't want anybody calling me that hadn't called me in a long time and might have just found my phone number and said, oh, let me give him a call. No, you're not just going to call me. I'm not going to get a missed call from you. I'm not going to get a butt dial from you. You're not just going to just out of the blue decide you're just going to check on me. No. I'm going to cut you off because I didn't want any of my past to come into my present and to affect my future. I didn't want any of that. So I made those distinctions. I made sure I set a clear boundary that's not acceptable. Mm-hmm. So I just cut it off. I guarded my heart in my conversation because even when I first started pastoring, one of the things that I'm sure a lot of people never even understood and never knew what was going on, but I established a practice in myself. I would come to church and a lot of times women would say, "Oh, Pastor, you look nice today." And I would totally mm-hmm. ignore them.
Mm-hmm.
To me, it was like, I didn't even hear you. I just kept walking. And I'm sure a lot of people were like, well, that was rude. And I'm like, that's fine. Because if I need to validate your feelings and make you feel better at the risk of making my wife feel bad, you just gonna feel bad. Because I have one person that I'm in covenant with, one person that I'm concerned about how she feels, one relationship that I am worried about stewarding. Everybody else, you're auxiliary. And so I'm not concerned about that relationship on that level. So those things, I had to be very mindful about it. And I didn't want to allow their flattery to start to affect my heart. So I couldn't receive those things. Yeah. So I just tuned them out. Because I recognize, and see, we don't even recognize how simple those things are. Because if somebody is not, watch this, especially ladies, I need you to hear this. If your husband is not complimenting you, but somebody else is, that stuff will subtly start to affect you.
Yeah.
After a while, you start seeking those things. Mm-hmm. You start seeking that approval. You start seeking that compliment. And next thing you know, you're starting to have these emotional affairs. You're starting to put yourself in situations. You're starting to send this person pictures. You're starting to post these things, hoping that they're going to. And next thing you know, you've got this expectation and this anticipation. And now you have this thing in you that's desiring for somebody else to give you attention. And you don't even realize it. And before long, that attention isn't just innocent.
Right.
Now it's starting to become something else. And before you know it, you've stepped into a place that you can't back out of.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And, you know, even along that, it's so important to have a lack of transparency. And, you know, this is truly in the area of keeping secrets, finances, and dishonesty. So trust isn't only broken in affairs, it's broken when there are... secret credit cards, I'm giggling because I was guilty of that. Hidden accounts, deleted messages, or half truths about where you've been or what you've done.
Oh, man, that's big. You know, I'll tell you something that you know, I've never downloaded, never been approved of. I never allowed my kids to download it. One of these social media platforms that I've always had an issue with was Snapchat. When Snapchat first came out and I heard about it and people were talking about because the messages disappear, I'm like, that's nefarious. Mm-hmm. Why are you trying to hide something? I said, that in itself lends itself to some secretive behavior. Mm-hmm. And if you're not careful, you will step right into these patterns. And see, I've never understood those types of things. You know, people are talking about, we've counseled a couple talking about, why she need the password to my phone? Why shouldn't she have the password to your phone? What do you have to hide?
Right. Because we have the password to each other's phone.
I'm like, yeah. They got my passwords to my phone. My kids got the passwords to my phone, my PIN numbers to my bank accounts. They got everything of mine. What is it do I have to hide?
And the secret credit cards, y'all. I didn't say it saying that I used it in an affair. I basically got one of them cards you get when you go to Lane Bryant and they give you 10% off. And I went ahead and got one and didn't tell him about it. And it showed up and it, you know.
It caused a trust issue because to give full transparency about that situation, it was one of those things where we had a common goal that we said we were going to get out of debt.
Yep.
And we had a goal and we were making progress toward that goal. And she had gone to the mall with one of the kids. And of course, this is what they do. Every time we just came from the mall. And as soon as we are in the store and I'm checking out, the lady says, well, you can save this much today if you just apply for a credit card. This is what they do. That's their job, is to tempt you to get in debt. Mm. And so, of course, she fell for it. Mm-hmm. So she signed up for this card.
Wow.
And she didn't tell me. And so the way I found out was when the bill showed up in the mail. And I'm like, what is this?
I was like,
And so, of course, I'm livid because I'm like, ooh. Our goal mm-hmm. is to get out of debt.
Yeah.
So why is it now that a credit card is showing up that we didn't originally have and we didn't talk about because now you have done something and it's broken trust?
Wow. And I mean, that correlates with relationships anyway. You know, we're using this situation as a transparent moment. But again, you know, Pastor Tuck said that it tempted me. They tempted me. And, you know, I believe on that day, there were some outfits that the girls liked and that I liked. And I didn't have enough at that moment to get them all. So I was tempted. In that moment, it was quick. And because it was quick and I made a knee-jerk response, it caused issues with us. You know, of course, I had to apologize. And, you know, we were able to reconcile that easily. But some couples, they don't.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25, it says, put away lying. Let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor. For we are members of one another.
And that's so important. To recognize you can't be dishonest with each other. That's why transparency is so important. regardless of what it is, and keeping secrets. Because if the two are one flesh, you don't try to hide things from yourself. Mm-hmm. So why is it that you're trying to hide things from your spouse?
That's good. Yeah.
So if you're doing that, that's telling me that you are not truly trying to be united, and you're causing division in your own relationship. Mm-hmm. You are self-destructing. So that's why you've got to be mindful of this. That's what the enemy does. Mm-hmm. See, marriage cannot thrive where there are hidden compartments. Watch this. Secrets are termites in the structure of your covenant.
Yep.
Oh, you might want to write that down. Oh, somebody ought to type in the comments, Pastor, that's good. Mm-mm. Secrets are the termites in the structure of your covenant.
Yep.
They are behind the surface. You don't even see the damage that's done. Mm-mm. Until it starts to crumble.
Yep.
It's sitting there eating away, eating away, eating away. And when it's exposed, it's too late because it's already done the damage.
And, you know, it could tear up a whole house. But sometimes all it takes is for one little termite to show up. And your attention is on that one little termite. And then when you open up the window, then there's a whole slew of them. You know, it can truly, by that time, all the major damage has been done.
Absolutely. So you've got to be financially open and accountable.
Yeah.
Make sure you share passwords. Share your plans and concerns. Create a culture where honesty is valued and not feared. That's big.
Just tell the truth.
See, because you can't be honest and then penalize people when they're honest.
Say that again, please.
Yeah, you can't be honest and then penalize people when they're honest. Because if that's the case, they're not going to want to tell you the truth. They're not going to want to come forward. Mm-hmm. Because if every time they tell you something and then they're beaten about it and they're criticized, yeah, about it, you know, and they're made to feel bad for what they just shared with you, they're not going to tell you the truth.
Nope.
So you've got to make sure that you're creating a culture where honesty is valued, mm-hmm, and not feared.
Yeah. And another area is those unhealed wounds from the past. So many couples, you know, they carry trust issues, not because of what their spouse did, wow, but because of what someone did before them, or before them did. You know, for example, a parent's betrayal. You know, maybe you saw your parents and your daddy was sneaking around and a womanizer. You saw the betrayal between your daddy and mama. So that sticks in your head. Or an old relationship where, you know, the old relationship, the person made a fool out of you by messing with one of your friends and you didn't find out until you walked up on them, you know. Or even a past trauma where, you know, someone felt that they could trust who they were with and they were date raped, or, you know, that's to an extreme, or, you know, mistreated in such a way that it had totally skewed their views of what a relationship is, what trust is, what intimacy is, and esteem is. It's so simple, but it's simple for it to happen, and it just causes things to be difficult as they go along. So you can't overgeneralize it.
And you got to recognize these trust issues. When people come into relationships with what I call baggage, It's such an issue because you're dealing with somebody based on somebody else's issues. Mm. And a lot of couples deal with this because they got into what I call premature relationships. Mm-hmm. That's one of the reasons why we discouraged our children from dating. And people are like, well, you got to let them date. You got to let them date. And why? Mm-hmm. Why is that? Just because you did, just because society says it's so.
Right.
The problem with dating is you're making permanent decisions based on a temporary mindset. You've got to recognize that young people, your mindset is changing every 3 to 4 years.
Yeah.
You look at it from the time that you were 16, you don't have the same friends that you had at 16 that you do at 21,
mm-hmm,
you know, at 23. At 25, You don't even like the same food. You don't like the same sports, the same activities. You don't like the same music. You don't like anything until you get around 27, 28 years old. That's about the time that you usually settle in life, mm-hmm. knowing what you want to do, knowing where you want to live,
yeah.
knowing what you like, knowing what you dislike.
Right.
That's when you've pretty much settled in as a person. You know, I use the illustration, it's like building something on wet cement. And when you walk on wet cement, you leave footprints. And so now when your cement is cured, you've got footprints in your cement. And so now when you get into another relationship, somebody else has got to walk in somebody else's footprints.
Oh, that's good. Yeah.
And when you're walking in somebody else's footprints, you have a tendency to trip.
Oh, yeah.
And so now somebody else is tripping over somebody else's footprints. And so that's the problem when you get into these premature relationships. You're bringing something mm-hmm. in and somebody else is having to deal with something else. And so that's where that problem comes in. And like you said, whether it's a parent's betrayals, whether you're dealing with issues from watching somebody else's messed up relationship or how somebody else treated you growing up, whether it was your parents weren't there, whether your mom wasn't there, your dad wasn't there, or whether they were there and they weren't good. And so now you've made it up in your mind, well, I'm going to be this way or I have to be this way to compensate for the lack of that. And so now when you get in a good relationship, you don't know how to trust. And so now the person that you should trust, you're untrustworthy to them. And now that's an insult to them. That's a wound to them.
Mm-hmm.
And now this other person, they may be in a relationship, but they've come from a place where they've had somebody who didn't trust them or didn't treat them right. And so now they've come in here with this. And so now these two things are colliding.
Yeah.
And now they're constantly causing issues. And those things have to be resolved because that past trauma will constantly cause you all issues.
Mm.
And so that's why you've got to allow God to heal you.
Yeah.
And they've got to allow God to heal them
mm-hmm.
so that you all can start off on that even playing field. You got to go back in. The only way to deal with those footprints is to go in and take some more cement and fill in those potholes, fill in those divots, those dents in the cement so that now you've got a smooth surface to walk on. The Bible says he heals the broken heart and binds up their wounds. So we've got to know that if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. He is a new creation. God is the only one that can give you a fresh start in that.
Yeah.
And so you've got to take that to the Lord. You can't keep taking your brokenness to the person mm-hmm. you're in a relationship with mm-hmm. because they're going to keep giving you their brokenness. You're going to give them their brokenness.
Yeah.
And now both of y'all are sitting there dealing with a broken mess.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why your relationship is broken.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to ask God to heal you. They've got to ask God to heal them so that you all can move forward. See, because if those wounds are not healed, they will bleed into the present relationship
yeah.
in the form of suspicion, insecurity, and fear. And they will become walls instead of bridges.
Mm. Sure will. And it seems like those are the toughest walls to knock down or climb over, right?
Oh, absolutely. And the only way to do that is to acknowledge your pain and get help.
Yep.
If you need to go get counseling, go get counseling.
Right.
I'm telling you, that's not a bad word. I don't care who told you it was.
That's right. And he better say that because he's been married to one.
Absolutely. If you got to go get counseling, go get counseling.
Nothing wrong.
Prayer's not going to fix everything.
Nope. Mm-mm.
I was listening to a pastor the other day, and it's so amazing he said this. He said, Jesus said, I give you the keys to the kingdom. He said, and the problem with some people is we've been going to a church and the only key they ever gave you was prayer. And you've been coming to different doors that require different keys. And you've been sitting there jiggling the prayer key, but the prayer key won't open it because he said he would give you the keys to the kingdom.
Yeah.
Some keys require counsel.
Yeah.
Some things require faith. Some things require word. But the only key you got is prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why you're sitting there locked out. Because he gave you the keys to the kingdom. You've got to apply whatever key is necessary to get to where God wants you to go.
Yeah.
Some things require healing.
Yes.
Some things require deliverance.
My God.
But you got to allow God to give you the keys that are necessary and utilize the key that he gave you. Mm.
Yep.
And don't punish your current spouse for the betrayals of the past.
Mm-mm-mm. You basically just holding them hostage. You know, you basically are just smacking them in the face. You know, every time you make suck your teeth and roll your eyes or think of something from the past and try to apply it to the current relationship. That's wrong.
Even for their own past. You can't keep retrying them. There's something in the law called double jeopardy. Mm-hmm. You can't keep trying me for the same crime over and over again.
Yeah. Don't work.
If I've done it, if I've owned up to it, we've talked about it. You said you forgave me. You can't keep holding me hostage. Mm-hmm. This is a story that I share all the time. I knew somebody. They were in a relationship. There had been an infidelity. And she say she forgave him. And he commenced to trying to make amends for that. And I watched this relationship go on for years. And this young man continued. He treated her like a queen after that. And at the time, she was still in college. He had graduated, had an awesome job. And he used to come back to school, would come to see her on the weekend. And when he would get there, she would treat him like garbage the entire weekend he was there. And then when he would get ready to leave, then she would, no, don't leave, don't leave. And I'm watching this and I'm like, this is the same guy that's been here all weekend and you've been treating like garbage and now he's getting ready to leave and now you don't want him to leave. But she would do that every time he came. But still, he would still come. He would still love on her. He'd come, bring her gifts and take her out and wine her, dine her, doing all kinds of things, trying to show her how much he loved her. And he was still talking about he wanted to marry her when she graduated. And at the time, he was living in New York. And she was in school in Virginia. And he was talking about, yeah, when she graduate, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, and we're going to get us a house and this and that. And she just kept saying, I'm not moving to New York. And he had a big time job. And I mean, and her career path was not a high paying one. And so, but he still kept going down there. He still kept saying that. And I remember when she graduated, she took a job in Virginia. She didn't take a job in New York. But he still kept coming to visit.
Near her hometown.
Yes, near her hometown. And so I noticed that the visits started getting less and less. And then one day, she got an invitation in the mail to his wedding from him. That's how she found out that he had had enough.
Wow.
Because she kept trying to punish him for past betrayals. Mm-hmm.
And could very well had a fulfilled marriage and would be able to experience new things than what she experienced in her hometown. Because the reality is when you go away from home and you come back home and those folks are still there, they never left, be prepared to get caught up in some issues and some drama.
And somebody's probably thinking, wow, man, that sounds messed up. And you may be thinking, what happened? Well, guess what? She ended up marrying somebody else.
Yep.
And ended up getting betrayed again.
Yes, she did.
Because she carried the hurt from that relationship into this one.
Oh, yeah. Whew.
And that's why you've got to let God heal what people broke.
Yeah. It says let. So you got to give it over to him.
Yes, because God's not going to come in and try to heal you.
Nope. Mm-mm.
If you ever notice, Jesus never just came in and said, hey, come here, sick.
He talked to him first.
Hey, hey, you sick, come here. I'm going to take care of that.
Right.
No, they had to ask him. Yep. If he wasn't invited, he didn't get involved in nobody's business. Because that's not how he operates. He's a gentleman.
So, you know, of course, with all these anticipatory things we've talked about, you know, we're living in modern day times. And Lord knows, things are much different than 1997 when we got married. So, You know, you got to be mindful of those modern dangers. And definitely these dangers, they do undermine the trust. So first thing is social media.
Yeah. Ugh.
Social media. So many betrayals begin online. Private messages, late night conversations, inappropriate likes or DMs, and inappropriate pictures.
Yeah.
Inappropriate videos. I'm gone.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So what begins as a quote unquote innocent can quickly turn into emotional or physical betrayal. Real quick.
Yeah.
Oh, and look at me.
No, oh, this I'm telling you, this is one of the reasons why I have never been one that has been very actively involved in social media.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, even before that, I was just sitting there thinking, I love playing crossword games, right?
Mm-hmm.
And some of these games they have where you can chat with the person that you're playing. And I immediately, if any, like, a male comes up and says, male or female, I don't want to be bothered. So I just block them, you know. But you could even get easily engaged in to a simple conversation that can turn into something else by playing a game.
Mm-hmm.
Even those video games where you have on the headphones and y'all are talking to each other about each other's plays.
Mm-hmm.
I literally knew someone who developed, quote unquote, a friendship with someone, and they traveled at least 5 states to go visit this person
mm-hmm.
with his wife. But, you know, it was suspect to me. And sure enough, when they came back, they had issues.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to provide counseling through those issues because that demon of social media fell prey and they fell prey to it. And it was just misused. So, you know, definitely the word says abstain from all appearance of evil. So you remember how I said when I was playing that game, sometimes people pop up. And they were evil. I abstained. Because if I didn't, I could engage something that would have probably been detrimental if you're not mindful. In Proverbs 4:23, it says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. And that means everything. Okay? So be sure you protect your heart. Because you think about it, if you're already walking around feeling hurt and damaged in your relationship, and that your heart's been broken in your relationship, you don't really feel like either guarding it or you got to guard up too much. And the mindful, sneaky person known as the enemy knows how to slither up like that serpent, and, you know, slide in there and just tear up everything. So you have to be transparent online. You must not keep secret accounts. Or hidden conversations. If you even try to do a Jane Doe as a hidden conversation, I guarantee you it's going to tie right back into who you are. So you may think it's hidden, but it's not really hidden. So protect your marriage, y'all, with healthy boundaries. And with social media, there are no boundaries. Even if you got a friend for friends, there are no boundaries. That's just plain and simple.
Yeah. Another modern danger to your that can undermine your trust is pornography. You know, there are so many guys that are addicted to pornography that have issues and that are causing issues in their marriage. This one is silent but deadly.
Mm-hmm.
Pornography destroys intimacy because it literally rewires the mind. And it starts to breed comparison. It makes your spouse feel less than, and it breeds shame. That's why the Bible tells us flee from sexual immorality. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18, it says, if your eye causes you to stumble, pluck it out. See, you didn't know it was actually talking about pornography, even in the scriptures. But he's telling us we've got to be mindful of these things because it will cause us to get into places where we are not supposed to be.
OK, Can I use that example? One night, Pastor and I, we were just talking, and Pastor was looking for something on the phone, and this advertisement just popped up in his feed.
I was on Facebook Marketplace.
They were marketplaces.
I was shopping for a Bowflex. Literally shopping for a piece of exercise equipment on Facebook Marketplace, and they've got all the little squares that you search for what you're looking for, and all the little squares pop up, and I look up, and in one of the squares there's hardcore pornography going on in one of the squares, and I'm like, what in the world is this, and how did it get here? And they had it masquerading as an ad, but it was literally hardcore pornography.
That's what the enemy does.
This is ridiculous. And I'm like, this makes no sense whatsoever. But this is how deceitful the enemy is. And that's why I'm like, that's one of the reasons, like I said, I should just stay off of social media, period.
And just say, for instance, somebody saw that, a spouse saw that, and they didn't share it with their spouse. You know, and they knew exactly where to go back to find that ad, that site. Next thing you know, they caught up. So.
But that's why you have to acknowledge it. Don't excuse it. Set accountability. Use filters. Prayer and honest conversation. And if you have that issue, seek counseling and deliverance if needed. One of the issues, and I've known people who've had this issue, you've got to get to the point where you've got to put parental controls on your television, on your computer. You got to put your laptop and your phone in public spaces in the house where you don't go and use your phone and your computer in private places where you have accountability. You've got to put those measures in place if you desire to make sure that you don't walk down those roads. You've got to put some safeguards in place, because the enemy will use you if you allow him to. But if you want to be free from these things, you can.
Right.
But you got to be mindful how these things affect your relationship, because they will rob you of the intimacy that God desired you to have in marriage.
Yeah. Next, we'll talk about rebuilding trust after it's been broken.
Whew. Because that's the key. You know, we've been talking about the things to do to stop from destroying trust in your relationship. But it's difficult once these things have occurred. Because now you have a situation where the person that you're in relationship with has been hurt, and now they don't trust you. Now the trust has been damaged. And now you're in a situation where you're like, you feel like you're on trial, you're being watched, and all these kinds of things. So now you feel like a criminal. And so now it's hard to get back to that place of balance. But you have to go through the effort to restore the trust, because trust, like we said, is the foundation of your relationship.
You know, betrayal, it hurts. And, you know, we've seen, though, through the effort of the couple, the commitment of the couple, that their relationships, God restored it. And God can restore what seems shattered, y'all, beyond repair. But it takes work, humility, and most importantly, God's grace. And with that another step is repentance. And responsibility. You know, repenting again doesn't always mean, you know, you just walk around in condemnation. You really got to change your thinking. But one scripture I love is Psalm 51:10. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Right? Renew that heart, make it clean, and make it steadfast. That means constant, persistent, continued. So own your actions and make no excuses for the actions. People love to make excuses because they don't want to take responsibility.
See, guys, we love to say, you know, well, this is the reason why I did this, because you did this. You want to put it off on somebody else, but you got to own it. Don't make excuses for why you did it. Own the fact that you did it.
That's what gaslighting and all those terms come in.
Take responsibility for the fact, I hurt you and I'm sorry.
Yep. Forgiveness and healing is just important, but you got to acknowledge first the pain that you've caused. You got to acknowledge it. You know, you got to acknowledge it with your spouse so that you can begin to see the areas that forgiveness and healing needs to take forward. You also have to see the areas that you have to pray and seek God for his grace and assistance with. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, it says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ forgave you. Mm. So forgiveness is a process, y'all. It's not a moment. Some people are even reluctant to try to forgive or ask for forgiveness because they're worried about rejection. And as soon as somebody feels rejection, then they go back into, I'm not getting attention. And then they seek other avenues to supplement those difficult feelings. So when you do forgive someone, it doesn't mean that you forget, but you release it, right? Because we got to remember, we can't help it. Our long-term memory is what it is. But we can sit there and make decisions that will help us to release things that may try to hold us stuck in the area of unforgiveness. And if you continue to stay in unforgiveness and resentment picks up, you know, that's when it's really, really a tug-of-war battle trying to improve someone's relationship.
You know, the next step would be transparency and accountability. The Bible says iron sharpens iron and one man sharpens another. So you need to have daily check-ins. Honesty and vulnerability rebuild that trust brick by brick. Mm-hmm. So you need to invite a trusted mentor, a counselor to walk with you in this. Make sure you got somebody who's going to, that you can check in with and be like, okay, this is where we are. You know, this is what I need. This is what we need. We need to be able to have somebody we can say, okay, this is where we are with this. I'm still struggling with this. This person, you know, we've talked about it, but, you know, she's still hurt. You know, I'm doing better with this. This is what I've given her my passwords. This is what's going on. You know, this is where we are. And talk about it. Yeah. Because if you're doing the work and she's still being bitter, somebody's got to be able to call her accountable for that. Because if she stays in that place, then she's not doing the work. Nope. So we've got to have somebody who's going to walk with us through this process and help us with this. The next step is spiritual renewal. Because with God, all things are possible. Mm-hmm. We've got to be able to trust God to do this. And one of the things I think is really important to understand, when trust is broken, because I know so many times, whether it's the man or the female, the male or the female who actually committed the grievance, a lot of times we think, well, I apologized, you know, and now you want it to go back to the way it was. You cannot set the timetable.
Mm, so true.
You don't have a right to say they ought to be over it by now.
Yep, because you'll be disappointed.
You can't do that.
Nope.
You weren't the one that was hurt. Nope. You were the one that created the offense.
Yep.
Now, they can't hold you hostage forever. So they've got to make a choice. Either they're going to forgive you mm-hmm. and move forward, mm-hmm. or they're going to walk away. That's up to them. Mm-hmm. But they cannot hold you hostage forever. So we've got to come to an agreement that we're working to move forward. Yeah. And so there has to be progress.
Yeah.
But you cannot determine this should be done by now.
Right.
And so that's where the whole process and the working together has to be put on. And that's why you need somebody to walk with you through this. Yeah. But that's why the spiritual renewal is so important. We've got to trust God. We got to pray together. We got to study the word, and we mm-hmm. got to keep God involved in this process because otherwise both of us will be in our flesh in it.
Big time.
They'll keep being in their feelings offended. Mm-hmm. You'll keep being in your feelings frustrated. and nobody's going to get anywhere. You've got to rebuild spiritual intimacy along with emotional and physical intimacy.
Yeah. That's the deep connection there. So, you know, I know y'all saying, okay, Pastor Steph and Pastor Tuck, y'all been married for 28 years. Yes, we have. And there have been things that we had to implement in our marriage. I think we have one of the best marriages hand down, but it's not always perfect. Am I right?
Absolutely.
So, you know, there are some practical steps for couples to help you all rebuild trust. Number one, set clear boundaries, emotional, physical, and digital.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Create safe spaces for honesty. Learn to talk without attacking.
My God.
That's big. Like you said, somebody can't talk if every time they say something, they can't, they got to feel like they're not heard.
Yeah.
Or they feel like what they say is invalid.
They can't be vulnerable. Vulnerability is a huge building block for developing trust.
Yeah. Yes. Forgive, but also rebuild. Trust is earned over time, not demanded overnight.
Yes.
I told you, you do not have the right to put a timetable on somebody trusting you again after you have lost trust.
But it is important to try your best to love each other through the process.
Yes.
It has to happen. Pray together consistently. A couple who prays together heals together. And if they heal together, then they'll stay together. Right? Yep. So
seek wise counsel, pastors, Christian therapists, accountability partners. Like I said, make sure you have somebody else to help you through this journey.
Yeah.
That's important.
And can I say one thing about counseling? When you go to a marriage or family counselor or whatever, and you get in marital therapy, if you have a counselor that allows your spouse and you to keep pointing fingers at each other, and then y'all both feel like you're being attacked by each other, instead of the counselor intervening and giving you ways to communicate so you can hear the message, you need to find another counselor.
Yeah. And you don't want to go to somebody who's going to take sides.
Yes, big time.
Because it's not about taking sides.
Mm-hmm.
The only side that's important is the marriage.
That's right.
And that's one thing Pastor Stephanie and I tell you.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. We only believe in seeing you all win. So we're going to tell you both when you're right and going to tell you both when you're wrong.
That's right.
Because the goal is to make sure you stay married and make sure you're successful.
So we got some homework. As always, there's something to think about between the next one. So the transparency check-in. Sit down and talk openly about anything hidden or sensitive. A social media audit. Review your online behaviors and set agreed upon boundaries. The forgiveness journal. Man, if trust has been broken, begin journaling prayers of healing and forgiveness. And there are times y'all even have to say it out loud, speak it out loud to engage your heart and your brain to connect together to begin to that process or be in that process of healing. So a spiritual connection is most important. Commit to praying together daily for the next 30 days.
Yeah.
Not at dinner. Dear Lord, we thank thee for what we're about to see.
And that's real important because it's going to be very hard for you not to trust each other while both of you are coming together in prayer to the Lord. Because like I said, remember that threefold cord is not quickly broken.
Nope.
Because when you start involving God, he's going to bind you two together. He's the binding agent. See, we've seen marriages that are shattered by betrayal become testimonies of God's grace.
Mm-hmm.
What the enemy meant for destruction, God can rebuild stronger than before.
And no matter where you are right now, whether you're the one who was hurt or the one who caused the hurt. God's love is bigger than betrayal. Healing begins with truth. Restoration begins with humility. And covenant is renewed when both hearts surrender to Christ. In Revelation 21:5, it says, "Behold, I make all things new."
Amen. Well, praise God. Let's pray about this. Father, tonight we lift up every couple under the sound of our voice. Heal every wound. Restore every breach. Expose every hidden thing that has stood between them. Teach us to be transparent, faithful, and tenderhearted. Renew trust where it's been broken. Rebuild covenant where it's been shaken. And remind us that you are the third cord that holds us together. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, we pray this blessed you tonight. And if you've been blessed by SEER training or any of our ministries here on the My Church Virtual Network, we encourage you to sow a financial seed. Help us continue to do what God's called us to do. You can sow using Cash App, $ My Church Channel, or visit our website, lovemychurch.org, and click sow a seed. We've got a huge mandate that God has given us, and that's to take the gospel to the world to make sure that people are equipped with the tools they need to walk this thing out daily. And so that's what we're trying to do. And so if you want to help us continue to do that, you can sow a financial seed. But in any event, we ask you to make sure you share this message with somebody you know who needs it, because I'm sure you know somebody who's struggling in their marriage right now. But God bless you. We love you. And make sure to stay tuned for our announcements. I'm Pastor Tuck. This is Pastor Stephanie. And come back and see us again on next time. God bless you and see you again soon.
I won't let you go until you bless me. There's got to be a resolve on the inside of the church. Woo, glory!
He says, you show up and let the Lord speak to you. Glory to God.
First responsibility of leadership is in your home. And that's why it's your ministry to your spouse and your kids that matters the most.
Different from ever before. If your recovery is fresh, or if your addiction-free lifestyle.
I want to be able to rejoice in the adversities that were there.
We're seeing all of these things happen. And the sad thing is, it's happening by our own decision. You know, a lot of people deal with a lot of depression, anxiety, frustration. Just thinking back, man, you know, how long this run has been going with us, man.
That's right.
You know.
Hey family, you already know, October is Pastor and Clergy Appreciation Month, and here at the My Church Channel, we're celebrating in a big way. If you're a pastor or ministry leader, make sure you and everyone you lead are locked in every Monday night at 7:30 p.m. for the next 9 weeks for a special edition of the Leadership Academy. We're featuring an exclusive, life-changing leadership development series called The School of Gifts, facilitated by Pastors Kendall and Kiara McDowell of Revival Now Global Church. Trust me, this series will unlock the hidden potential in you and your ministry team. You don't want to miss a single week. The Leadership Academy, Mondays at 7:30 p.m. on the My Church Channel. Available on Roku, Fire Stick, Apple TV, Google TV, and LG TV. Or simply download the My Church on the Go app from the Apple or Google Play App Store on your favorite mobile device. The Leadership Academy, Mondays at 7:30 p.m. on the My Church Channel.
At My Church, we help people get better by teaching them how the Word works, and we want to make sure there's no excuse not to get the Word. It's our goal to make all of our ministries accessible on every smartphone, tablet, PC, and television connected to the internet. So whether you're a man who needs some wisdom, a woman who needs some encouragement, or a couple who needs guidance, the My Church channel has just what you need. Simply search for the My Church channel on Roku, Fire Stick, Apple TV, Google TV, and now LG TV, or visit mychurchchannel.org. You can also download the My Church On The Go app from the Apple or Google Play App Store. Constantly on the move? Check out the Word at My Church podcast from your favorite podcast platform. Or simply download the Word at My Church skill from your Alexa-enabled device. But whatever you do, make sure you stay connected. See you soon.